If you desire to be a 10-minute speaker at SoCal Speakers and have 1 year of sobriety, please leave your name and phone number with our secretary, Manu, and see one of the members, Sam, during the break. During the break or after the meeting, so we can may contact you as a 10-minute speaker. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Liz P. from Chula Vista.
Yay! I like your shirt.
Hello, I'm Liz. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Liz!
And Happy New Year to everybody. It looks like we all made it. Sober. Thank God. Another year. Sober. So what it was like. Well, my first drink was when I was really young. I found my father's scotch under the sink, and I drank it so I wouldn't have to go to school, and it worked. Every time I went to school, I got drunk. And so that worked. So then I'm from New York, and in New York, we drink a lot, the bars. You know, that's the whole scene. Bars are open until 4 o'clock in the morning. Drinking age is 18. So I started about 14, about a freshman in high school, going out to the bars, and I started drinking alcohol. And then to stay up till 4 o'clock, I took a little help from my friends, a little Benzedrine, you know, mini bennies in those days. But anyway, so that was 4 years of drinking alcoholically, so and going out till stay up to 4 o'clock in the morning. And so then when I was 18, I left home. I left New York. I said, I don't know where I'm going. Well, I knew where I was going. I was going to Hollywood to be a movie star, right? I was destined, right? So I headed for Hollywood, and so when I get to Hollywood, this is funny. I'm walking down Sunset Boulevard, swinging my purse, chewing gum, you know, looking real cool. And a big Cadillac pulls up with a Doberman in the back, Cadillac convertible. He says, "Hey, baby, where are you going?" Well, that was the end of my acting career. Got married only because the Catholic Church told me to. So I got married, and then the times in Hollywood, I'd say that I was into drugs. And that's about my drug story, I'll say. I tried every drug there was. And then I managed to get out of that relationship, and by then I was pretty much addicted to drugs, and I wound up in jail for drugs under the influence, and then my significant other at the time was my connection, and he overdosed. So that was pretty much an awakening for me, you know. I was sent to summary probation because I was a first offender, and so there I got help, and I got off the drugs, sort of. I did get off the hard drugs. So then that's where my alcohol career kicked in. I thought as long as I drank alcohol, it was legal. And I wasn't going to go to jail, so I thought. So I drank alcohol the same way I did drugs. I went from point A to point B as fast as I could. I drank straight shooters. I did drink Uncle Lady. I drank martinis. I drank Tanqueray. I was a very particular alcoholic. Only Tanqueray. And so I would drink like 7 martinis. That was what I did, 7 martinis. And so then I wound up in with a DUI from that. And that was kind of an eye-opener, too. I did go to jail. So that sort of didn't stop me. At the time, I thought, well, I had a beauty salon. I always worked because I was a hairdresser. I went to vocational high school, so I always had a trade. And as long as hair keeps growing, I had a job, you know. So I always had work. So I had a beauty salon then. And so to avoid getting another DUI, I always drank at happy hour, you know, and on an empty stomach, and stayed there till 9 o'clock and the band started, and I never ate food and just drank. So to avoid getting another DUI, I figured, I would sleep in the shop, and then the customers would come in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'd, you know, put chair cloths on me and, you know, sleep in the shop so I wouldn't have to drive. And then I thought about getting a condo right near the bar so I wouldn't have to drive. So So then I had another relationship, and he was an alcoholic, and he was worse than me. So I really came into these rooms through Al-Anon. I'd go to Al-Anon pretty tankered up, you know, and I'd be like, I thought Al-Anon was where you could go and go, him, it's all about him, it's all about the alcoholic. I could point my finger. So then they said to me, I think you're in the wrong room. You know, like I was reeking of alcohol. And they said, I think you're in the wrong room. I think you need to be next door. So I went to AA, and I didn't like AA when I first went there. It was very depressing. You know, I thought, oh, you guys are so depressing. I like to party, man. I don't want to talk about depressing things. I want to party, you know. And so I didn't like it. But yet every time I went to a meeting, I came out, I felt better. I felt better. So pretty soon I start to feel, they talk about spiritual experiences, I start to feel, well, maybe there is something going on here, you know. I feel better every time I come out of a meeting. And so then I hung around, and I got a sponsor. I did the steps. And when I first did the steps, the fifth step was like, wow. I mean, talk about freeing. You know, I came in with a hit list. I mean, it was all starting with my father, the Catholic Church, right? The Catholic Church, they did it to me. They caused me to get married, you know. You know how that is. And so the Catholic Church, my father, he was a gambler, and every time he lost his paycheck, which was every week, he played the horses. He'd come home drunk, and God forbid there was a horse named Lizzie. You know, I was in trouble. I hid. So, yeah, it was my father, and it was my first husband. I found out he married me for the Mann Act, so I couldn't prosecute against her. Wife can't testify against her husband. He was kind of a gangster. But, okay, so, and also, he was a heroin addict, and I blamed him for my addiction. You know, it was everybody else. You know, everybody else that did it to me. And so I worked through my fifth step when I first came in the program. But then I'd stick around for a while, and then I'd get really bored. You know, it's like, oh, man, is there any life after sobriety? You know, I want to party, you know. So I'd go out, and I'd say, I'm just going to a bar. I'm not going to drink. Well, that didn't last very long, you know. And every time I picked up, I went right back to that seven martini thing, you know, straight shooters again. You know, I drink alcoholically. And so then my life would completely fall apart again, you know. I'd find myself in, well, I have a terrible story, you know, what we do when we drink. It's like, you know, it's terrible, you know. I find myself in Vegas and not know how I got there, you know, for 3 days. And, you know, just blackouts and just what we do, you know, as a woman that drinks in a bar. Just crazy, terrible things, you know, under alcohol. So my life was unmanageable again. So then I'd go back to AA, you know. And, okay, 10 minutes. I mean, 2 minutes. I'm a 10-minute speaker. I probably could speak for an hour. I was so nervous about 10 minutes. Don't get me started. No. So now I have 25 years, okay? All right. I have 25 years of sobriety, and I'm angry. I'm hangry. I put on this T-shirt today because I'm hangry. I'm hangry because I'm not only angry, I'm hungry. I'm hungry and angry because I'm hungry for God. Today I'm working the sixth step. I'm doing my steps over. And the reason I kept going out all those years is because I didn't do my steps over every time I came back in. I did them once, and that was it. I thought that was enough, you know. But I've been sitting on my laurels. And today I'm doing the steps over and working on the sixth step, and I'm discovering that I'm a control freak, I'm the director, I'm angry because people, places, and things won't do it my way. If only everyone would do it my way, everything would be okay, but they don't. So today I'm working on my character defects. I'm digging down. I'm working the sixth step and the seventh step, and I'm just really digging down, and I'm asking God. God is here for me. He was in the rooms, but today he's inside. He's in my heart. You know, he's in a sunset, yes, but he's also with me on a cloudy day. He's always with me, and I can call him. And I say the serenity prayer a lot, folks, a lot, because I'm really angry. I'm angry because people won't do what I want them to do. If only they would, I'd be so happy. But, you know, today my nieces, my grandkids, nobody does what I want, you know. And I'm realizing that this has been a problem a long time. I've had this problem a long time. You know, just because I'm 25 years sober doesn't mean that I got it. So today I'm trying to get it, and I'm trying to get it through the steps. I'm trying to get in touch with my higher power, and he's the answer. You know, God is the answer, and God can help me on a minute-to-minute, day-by-day, you know. I mean, it's a process, you know. I call on him every day. I say the serenity prayer a lot, and I'm going to get serenity, and it's going to be through the 12 steps. I know it. This is going to be the best year ever for me, and I hope it is for you. Thank you. Awesome.